Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I'm just very thankful for the platform that God has given me and the opportunity to be a quarterback for, you know, the Denver Broncos. What a great organization.
This administration's war on religion is what bothers me greatly.
All we're really seeing here right now is a very modest attempt from the Obama administration to put some controls on how some government money is spent when it flows to religious organizations.
When Massachusetts drives Catholic adoption services out of the state, there's something fundamentally violating religious liberty.
And when we worship, we're receiving things from him. It might seem like a kind of a selfishness or an arrogance to Rick Warren, but it's exactly how the Bible gives it to us. God is the giver, and we are on the receiving end of his gift.
Indiana truck drivers, rubbish, etc.
It is true that all of our liberties as citizens in the United States, all of our freedoms, what we call there in the Declaration of Independence, these inalienable rights, they all hang together. They are of one piece, that you cannot pull one out without doing damage to another. We may distinguish between freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of thought or worship, and all of these things. We may distinguish between them, but they are all of one piece. And of one piece with a natural order, a natural law, which includes natural marriage. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, January the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Matt Harrison joins us here in the first few minutes to talk about a recent open letter that he signed along with others on religious freedom and marriage. Also, a response to malaria. A million people die from malaria on this planet every year. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest after that. We'll talk about media coverage of Tim Tebow, his faith, and of course, a recent headline that she found on the Pope and gay marriage that she just found remarkable. We'll find out why in a few minutes. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You get to listen to the four soundbites we have before you, and then you'll have a chance to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week and perhaps win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. Pastor Matt Harrison is a regular guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of a recent column in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Why Malaria, and a signatory to Marriage and Religious Freedom, Fundamental Goods That Stand or Fall Together. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Why is it that we need to continue to assert that natural marriage and religious freedom are connected together and must remain connected together?
Well, we know as Christians that God has created one man and one woman to be united in marriage. It's absolutely fundamental. And that is a conviction that is supported in the New Testament repeatedly and throughout. We know also, and this is a religious conviction, that natural law teaches the same thing. That is, reason, when it's operating properly, recognizes that marriage is between one man and one woman. And we have the history of the world, especially the Western world, to verify that reality. We are descending into an increasing abyss of reasonlessness in our country, the Western world, to be sure. And we're helping to spread that reality all over the world. What happens, and this is delineated in the letter, we people of deep religious and natural law conviction hold that marriage is between one man and one woman. And what is happening is that the federal government and states are increasingly, progressively, day by day, asserting that marriage is not merely the relationship or a contract between one man and one woman. It can be defined otherwise. But more than that, what they are doing is directing the cannon of the federal government's anti-bigotry machine at those of us who hold this reasonable and biblical view. And that is what is diminishing our religious freedoms.
What would you say to a lawmaker? You are a churchman. And what would you say to a statesman if you had an opportunity to sit down with them about what they need to continue to do in that vocation in order to keep that connection between religious freedom and natural marriage?
I would show them the numerous instances where Christians and religious people are being treated as bigots by this country and in certain jurisdictions. I will list one famous situation right now that is ongoing and extremely troubling. That is, the state of Illinois ruled last summer, and it was signed into law, or 2 summers ago, I'm sorry, that a adoption agency which was not willing to certify and place children in gay and lesbian circumstances is no longer eligible for any contracts with the state because of discrimination, bigotry. So that means that an agency, faithful agencies, hitherto our own agency in that state, but also the Roman Catholics who have now pulled out, who have placed thousands of children faithfully in homes for the benefit of society, are being discriminated against for bigotry. So I would say that is an absolute attack on the Constitution and the First Amendment, that is the free exercise of religion. I should not be persecuted by the state or treated as a pariah by the state because of my religious convictions, especially in this case where we in the church have provided, often with the government, sometimes and often without the government, untold benefits to the society and culture. And what a great irony is now that this culture in many places decides to treat us as the bigots.
Matt, I'm looking for your honest opinion here. Are you hopeful that this may be just a dark patch in American culture and politics? And sometimes, honestly, I'm tempted to say we've lost even before the battle's over, and it's going to get harder for Christians individually and religious organizations and whole church bodies on this front, and not better. What do you think there?
No, I don't think this is a momentary dark patch. I see the foundations of culture, society unraveling before our very eyes. And it's a time not unlike the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, where you have hordes of in Rome, you had hordes of barbarians streaming in from all over the place. And in fact, my relatives were in Bohemia, northern Germany, France, and they were increasingly streaming into Rome to find protection under reasonable laws. They were streaming to Rome for economic reasons. They were increasingly participating in all levels of government. And so you had this huge apparent, what appeared to the church, a period of confusion, a lack of clarity morally and religiously, increased religious diversity. And to all accounts within the kingdom, everybody thought this is really when Rome fell in 476, really when the first barbarian takes over as emperor. Everybody thinks this is the end, but in reality, this is the way the Lord was spreading the gospel to all of Northern Europe. So what appeared to be terrible decline in every way was actually preparation for the Lord's next step. So I'm not unoptimistic. I think we're in for a long haul, but we're in a huge period of transition, a huge period of transition where people from the southern, the global south are coming into the U.S. And that's a positive thing overall because, and it's going to happen, but it's positive because people from the global south are generally far more sympathetic to our own Christian views on marriage than warmed over northern Europeans.
I asked you a moment ago what you would say to a lawmaker here, if you had the opportunity to. One more question on that subject. We as Christians and as a church, we of course can appeal to the heavenly sovereign on this. What would you urge Christians of all stripes to pray with respect to marriage and religious freedom?
I would urge everybody to pray for repentance, for all of us, for repentance. And then what we must do in this entire sort of cultural war is not get angry, but love. We must act. We must care for those who find themselves in challenging circumstances, even when they label us bigots. We must love, pray for people, act, care for the needy, welcome the stranger, open our homes to those who are unwanted, make sure we're caring for, make sure our congregations are places of refuge for people on the edge. And that is something that we have done to an unbelievable extent, but we always fall way short, and we could do much more on. That's what we must do. That's what Cyprian did in the 3rd century when the world around them was dying from plague, and it was the Christians who went out and carefully buried the bodies of the deceased non-Christians. And by such care and concern, they won the hearts of the broader society and culture. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But that's who we are. That's who we must be right now. I do know that all things transpire for good, and the Lord is in charge of history, and all things unfold for the benefit of the gospel, even though it doesn't seem like it.
We'll be right back with Pastor Matt Harris and talk a little bit about malaria.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. In a few minutes, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us to talk about Tim Tebow in the media, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Matt, before the break, you mentioned the early Christians and help that they afforded unbelieving neighbors during the plague. A million people die from malaria every year on this planet. But why should we be concerned about this disease that just really doesn't affect us very much here in the U.S.?
Well, there are numerous reasons. I mean, as I note in the article, Luther says Christ takes on our flesh in the womb of Mary, and we then, he speaks by way of a comparison, we ought to take on the flesh of our neighbor in love. That is simply who we are. Christ comes to care for people, body and soul. I really like the dismissal in the new hymnal where it says, may you be kept body and soul unto eternal life after the sacrament. We care for people. And I would just let folks know, especially if you're Lutheran, and if you're more broadly Christian, there are 18 million Lutherans in Africa. Many of them suffer in places from malaria, which are very, very remote. It is a proven fact. Now, people get all kind of excited about DDT and those issues. Those are issues we cannot affect. DDT is still used in some places, but what we can affect is education. In many places, people believe that malaria is a result of witchcraft. Walter Obari lost, I think, 10 siblings, Bishop Obari of Kenya, to malaria. His mother thought it was witchcraft. What we're seeing is, with simple education, prevention, and treatment, malaria is treatable, the numbers of malaria deaths can and are decreasing enormously. And it's simple. We know the mosquitoes that cause malaria bite sometime between 10 o'clock at night and 2 in the morning. So if people are prepared and sleep under a bed net in those conditions, they are prevented from having difficulties. Why should we care? Well, we have Lutheran people who read and believe the same catechism that you and I do at the very end of the road. And that's why we were asked to be involved in this. We have Sunday school teachers, Christians, pastors who are trusted more than anybody else in Africa, more than politicians and anybody else. And when the church instructs, it always instructs in the name of Jesus and speaks and acts in the name of Jesus.
Matt, you conclude your short article about this call for help for those who are suffering under malaria by saying, all of our talk of orthodoxy finally rings hollow if we have no love for our neighbor. Love for the neighbor without solid doctrine quickly floats away from the church and Christ, but solid teaching and rigorous love, now that's a winning combo. What do you mean by that with about a minute?
I've seen in many cases where teaching, solid teaching of the New Testament is dissociated from love and care. And that love and care then gets mixed up, floats away from Christ. You cease to see any kind of missionary activity involved in that love. The name of Christ is soon removed from the equation. There's no urgency, no call to repentance. On the other hand, we've also seen circumstances where we simply care for people in the soul, that is, as though they had no body, and we preach, bring a heavenly message, but we're no earthly good whatsoever. The two of them belong together. The two belong together. And this is such an important strategy for the Missouri Synod in Africa, too. 18 million Lutherans, many of them in growing relationships with the Missouri Synod and broader confessional Lutherans, though not within our sphere previously. This is a perfect strategy for the Missouri Synod at this time. It's the right thing to do in every way.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Why Malaria? And a signatory of Marriage and Religious Freedom, Fundamental Goods That Stand or Fall Together. Matt, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Todd. May the Lord bless and keep you and all your great listeners out there.